this is Katrina, and this is Zooming in the Lens podcast. It's adventures of spiritual dialogue with us from the streets of rock and roll into the shifts of perceptions. We hope Zooming in the Lens can bring us all together, sharing the stuff of life and practice, suffering and grace. And we're really grateful to all of you who might be listening to our rants with compassion and curiosity. For more information, visit us at functionalyogaonline.com. Hey, everybody, it's Katrina from Zooming in the Lens podcast, and I'm here with Kara Evans and Lexi Pellegrino, who is my niece, and Kara is a very dear friend of mine. I remember that term low-hanging fruit from Raghu Marcus from Mind Rolling Podcast. He has a podcast. He's involved with the company that I work with, Ram Dass's Love Serve, remember, and he says he gets accused of having people on his podcast that are low-hanging fruit. So if anybody wants to know what that means, I sort of take that to mean that we're just doing it with friends and people that we know. But hey, listen, you've got something to say? You want to come on? Write to me, zitlcourse@gmail.com. I would love to have input, and we could even do it with my low-hanging fruit. So how you doing, low-hangers?
Like being the low-hanging fruit, by the way.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, right? Hanging low.
Being ripe.
Exactly. Being ripe. That's good, actually, for our topic today. I think we're going to talk about awareness, because we were all talking about Lexi's latest adventures. Lexi is, I don't know, what is it, like the last 5 or 6 years, Lex?
I think so.
Yeah, about the last 5 or 6 years, she's been traveling all the way, all around, and challenging herself, which I'm going to let her speak more about it. But it got me thinking about the choices that we get or don't get very early on in life, especially when you're graduating high school and you're about to decide whether to go to college, whether you have that choice or not. And then going through college, and I was curious what the statistics were on how fruitful that has been for the people that go in and graduate. Are they finding work? What are the percentages? Not that I'm this statistic whore. I mean, I am a little bit, I will admit that. But I only use it in a reference kind of way. It's not the be-all, end-all. I think experience and personal exploration is probably the be-all, end-all for somebody to sort of, you know, get on the horse and start riding.
I read a meme, or I shared a meme this morning that showed, like, three business people sitting at a desk, and it said, "I'm looking for someone 22 to 26 years old with 30 years of experience."
Who isn't?
Which kind of sums up what the workforce is like after college.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people don't have choices, or they feel like they don't have choices. But I mean, when you have no choice, it might be family pressure. It might be we're groomed as kids to be good girls, be good boys, and to do the right thing. And the right thing is so relative. As we can look in the past 100 years, the right thing 100 years ago is a very different right thing now. But a lot of us feel like education is the way to go. I happen to agree that education is the way to go. I just don't think that there is one education you can get. You can get education through experience and through travel and through service, through volunteer, and you can also get education from schooling. So I was checking out these statistics. The first one was from Abel and Dietz from the Federal Reserve Bank. And they say that the vast majority of college grads work in jobs that aren't strictly related to their degrees. 27% had a job closely related to their major once they got out. Now, these were
just... Do you realize how low that
yes,
is?
Yes, it's ridiculously low, right? 27% got a job after graduating in their major. This was the study. This particular one was done in 2010. 62% of college graduates have a job requiring a college degree. So it's 62% that require a degree to actually be in the job. So there is a percentage of that you don't need a college degree. And then it goes to a 2014 study that says 51% are in jobs not requiring a degree. This is 4 years later. 31% are not working at all.
Oh my God.
A 2015 study from the Daily Caller, the writer's name was Eric Owens, he's an educational editor. 14% of graduates have steady career-type jobs after graduating.
14%.
86%, so it's 5 out of every 6 person, have no clue of any idea of a career prospect post-campus life.
My God. Is that just in the United States?
It's just in the United States, and it's also not including lawyers and doctors. And I think the reason for that is it's a specialty, and so there is one path to go. And you go through medical school and your residency, and then you can go anywhere and work as a medical doctor. And pretty much the same as a lawyer. But asking those doctors and lawyers if this was their idea when they went to school and are they fulfilled in doing it might be another thing altogether.
Right.
You know, the average loans, so out of all these people, whether you have a job or not, it's sort of like gambling in Vegas, don't you think? The average person owes $35,000.
Yeah.
That takes them...
low, actually, for...
Yeah, it's low. Most of my friends owe upwards of $100,000.
Right.
I think the doctor and lawyer statistic is because those are two fields that I feel like when the 17 and 18-year-olds are at that point where they're making a decision to move on to the next level of education, if that's what they've chosen to be, they already have some passion about it and they move forward, and the rest, my own children included, and family and friends, children close to me, if they don't have a passion for something, then they're searching and they will do something because they're afraid to do nothing. And if they are in the education system because they were told they quote unquote should be, they go for one of those degrees that that high percentage of people are not even using upon graduation.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah. Do those statistics scare you guys, like, when you hear them?
I kind of expected that. I think it is astonishing and scary, but I have done studies myself because of the experience I've had with 4 children in a row that are all 21 and over now. And I've had 4 different experiences, none of which resulted in a doctor or a lawyer, meaning 4 out of 4 of mine didn't go in any direction, didn't know what they wanted to do, went to school, aren't used. You know, they're all mixed up statistics, but all following the path of really not being clear on what they want to do.
I mean, where do you think it was written that we're supposed to know what we want to do?
My son Tyler asked a professor when he was 17 and thought he wanted to be a doctor. So he's one of the ones that were on that path that didn't make that high statistic of staying there. And he asked a professor some questions about philosophy because he was interested in what he was saying at the orientation. And the professor said, let me ask you a question, son. What is it you want to do with your education and career path? And my 17-year-old son said, I really don't know. I'm not sure. And that professor said, that's probably the best answer you could give at your age.
Wow.
What do we know when we're that age? Really, what do we know now? Less than twice the age now, or 2.5 times, or whatever. And I think a lot of people are feel there should be molded into the model society created, and that's it.
Right.
You're born, you go to school, you continue school, you get a job, you have a family, you support your family. You put some money in the bank for the future, and then you grow old and die without deviating from, you know, that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it adds a lot of pressure to people to either know what they're doing or... And I really feel like it's not a question of college or no college. It's a question of how can you use college rather than it using you. Because there's nothing wrong with going to college when you don't know what you're going to do and majoring in liberal arts or... I mean, I personally don't feel that there is. I think that it's the pressure of... kids walking around saying, I'm just in college because I don't know what else to do. And that feels, because of our culture, it feels like the wrong thing to be feeling. So maybe more of an acceptance of, you don't know what you want to do, go to college and study and see what evolves from it. Because most of the college kids that I have spoken to, you know, in the last 20 years even, have switched their major, you know, halfway through or, you know, a semester or two into it. And that should be okay. I feel that the pressure's in the wrong place. Like, there's so many things. I think what it's saying to kids is you better know what you want to do, because worrying about it later is going to make you be in poverty.
Right. Well, yeah, I had a boss last year who tried to push on me to stick with the career that he was in because it guarantees you benefits, insurance, and like a retirement plan.
Which are real problems.
And I'm 25, so I'm pretty far away from even thinking about that. But I think that's a big push is... the security when you're older, but how will you ever really have that type of awareness when you're 17 or 18? It's like basically impossible.
Well, let me tell you something.
It's too high of an expectation.
The awareness that you're 25 and hopefully are going to live a long life and be a senior one day, the awareness of that, and the awareness that you can make provisions for yourself is a good awareness to have.
Right.
Because I will tell you, I'm 51. I didn't really find that important. You just said, I'm 25 and kind of, you know, I don't really need to know that right now. But you really do, because at least be aware. I'm not saying you need to set up your IRA right now, but my daughter Lauren is 27 and I just had her start an IRA, put some money away, because when you get to that place, my mom is 71 and never did that, and will be a card reader and do her spiritual work and be a teacher, which is wonderful, but she will have no cushion or something to fall on, or God forbid she gets sick, you know. So thinking about it is not a bad idea. Pushing it on somebody as this is the reason you should have this job? No.
Right.
But be aware that that exists and that you can make those choices in your life no matter what you do. You just know that, you know, it's good to think about your provisions for your future one day, but you can do that on your own. You don't need a boss or, you know, a 401k plan, or you don't need somebody else to do that for you. You can do that for yourself.
Right, and really what it comes down to is the degree that you're going for, or the subject that you're studying, or what college you go to really isn't like the deciding factor of whether or not you're going to have that. Because I'm doing something totally different than what I majored in. I'm a part of that statistic.
Wow.
But I am headed in a direction where I can still obtain those things for myself in my future.
I would go out on a limb and say that the work you've done in the last 5 years and the things you've learned, like Katrina said at the beginning of her introduction, education is a word about learning, opening your mind to things, exploring new avenues. It doesn't have to be through a school system. And I think what you've learned in your quest and adventures you've been on is probably more valuable to apply to your life than the 4 years you put into a mainstream type school. Would you agree with that?
I would to an extent, because there are also times where in the field that I'm in now, I would have really valued the things that I could have learned through the educational system if I had majored in something more along the lines of this work. So I do think there is value to school and college, absolutely. I think having the awareness of your intention and what you're going to school for, what you're really getting out of college, not just to sit there and be bored through the classes and hate having to do homework and really just wanting to party. I mean, that's definitely a part of it, but yeah, having the awareness of not taking advantage of that and really thinking about how you can use what you're doing in the future, even if it's completely unrelated to what you end up doing.
Yeah. Well, anybody smart would, I think, be able to apply something they learned, no matter how they acquired it, in their life. I went to college and immediately knew that I did not want to work in the field, but I've applied things I've learned throughout my life all the time.
And even if you're not applying the actual, like, academic things that you're learning, the textbook things, there's so much else that's a part of that life of being in college and having that experience and leaving home, living away from your parents for the first time, that it teaches you so much more than you would even know. Like someone once said to me, you might not see the seed that you're planting until, you won't see the seed you're planting until it starts to grow. And that could be 5 years later, like for me.
Sure.
I'm not seeing all the things that I really gained at that time until later in my life. So you won't even realize that it's happening. Sometimes it just kind of will unfold in a sense.
I feel like life should be more about planting seeds than picking the flower. And it feels like we all obsess about picking the flower, the maturity of our IRA and
the fruits of our labor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could be sitting here I won't say that. You know, I grew up in the same model that you all did, of believing that we have to protect ourselves for the future. And I see that as my life unfolds, I walk around with that protection, and it's not just delineated to money. That view of life, it leaks into everything. It's like the deprivation model of always feeling like what is going on currently has to have some sort of monetary value for the future. And I also think that a big misunderstanding in the world of seeking spirituality, the misconception is that being in the now is throwing out all of what we've learned in order to be in the now. And the most liberating thing to experience as you go is through awareness, using the awareness that you get, as Lexi's pointed out, looking at a college situation. There's only no value in something you're doing if you're limited in your perception of value. If I go into school and my only goal is to learn this one subject, and I don't go party, and I don't discover and search out other experiences and maybe mix and mingle with other people with different majors or whatever it is, just mixing it up. That's like putting blinders on, and that's more of convincing ourselves. And like, you know, I can compare it to when somebody goes on a diet and they say, well, we just don't let that kind of food in our house. Now, there's people that do that with awareness, and then there's people that do that because they truly don't trust themselves. So that's more the deprivation model, because the world isn't walking around understanding that you can't have ice cream in front of your face. So the minute you leave your house, there's going to be ice cream stores on the corner, and you go to somebody's house for dinner and they're going to serve a dessert. And I think that we can use our experiences to create awareness through whatever is currently going on in our lives. And I've seen too many examples of the people through my life that have not liked their jobs, but the limited perception, an inability to see, to let go of the future outcome of that, of quitting or of moving forward, and seeing people that have jobs because of the health insurance alone. Nobody ever looks at that and says, well, how often have you been sick? Right? Like, I know somebody that has had a job for 15 years just because of health insurance. They haven't been sick one day in 15 years. So basically, they're working for when they do get sick. And that sick might be 2 days, or that sick could be a horrible disease. And then our minds will go, look, now if I haven't suffered for 15 years, but then the sickness isn't really cramping your style. It actually would be looked at as a vacation, because you're getting a vacation from having to work for when you're going to get sick. And you don't know the future. None of us know the future. We know what we see other people living, and we want to learn from their experiences. We don't want to end up in a situation where we have no money. Nobody does. We don't will that on ourselves. But I have seen too many people in their 70s now that worked at jobs for 40 and 50 years for the pension and the health benefits and the GM plant, for one. It got completely taken away.
Listen, I grew up with a mother saying, you know, oh, forget the future. It might never get here. Don't worry about that. And so I am, and a father way on the other end of the spectrum,
wow,
who, one of the people that lived for the future and died at 60. So I fall as a person who has values in the middle. Do I think you should stay and be unhappy, miserable for that? No. That's why I said to Lexi, be aware that you might need provisions in the future, and figure that out for yourself. Stay somewhere and use that as a crutch and an excuse. I'm staying here because I need health insurance and I might get sick, so I'll just get up and do something I hate every day. Look who's talking. That wasn't my reason, but I stayed unhappy and miserable in my job every day for 15 years. And I think just like the person who makes their excuses for not keeping ice cream in the house, you know, it's all really just a cover-up for what's real. You really don't have any control over your addiction, or you can't, you don't have the ability and the tools to not eat something, then work on that.
Right.
You know, I was afraid of what I didn't know, so I stayed. You know, it really wasn't any one particular thing, but it was freeing to leave, and now I have all kinds of fears of the unknown. no income, no, don't know what's coming tomorrow, no medical insurance, no, none of that stuff. But, you know, now it's a new adventure.
What does that feel like inside? So that's kind of new for you.
Yeah, it's very new.
Yeah. What's that feel like?
It's exciting. I look at it as a whole, it's an experience. It's an opportunity. I've been able to go to yoga every day.
Asana?
Both. Yes. But I just found this woman who does a lot of talks and a lot of gatherings, and she's teaching the harmonium, and just have time to breathe, not rush through every day in some accelerated version of myself without a minute to just inhale, you know, and exhale.
Are you fighting some demons that are talking to you in your mind of like, you big loser? And
no.
Good.
Mm-hmm. No, the demons were in the initial, you know, the initial. The anger, the shock, the resentment, you know, all of those things.
Yeah.
But, you either could get past it or you cannot. I refused to be stuck, so I just went into, like, that mode of work on it, figure it out, and find it as an opportunity. You know, a door opened, it didn't close. You know, see things in a different way.
Yeah, because that's what's serving you in the moment.
Right. For right now. Will that change? Probably. Everything does.
Yeah, everything does. You know, and with those kinds of statistics, I mean, firstly, I just want to make clear that I think everybody should do as much as they can with life, whether it involves college or not. I think using awareness can broaden your perspective as to the choices. And it is really hard to go against the only person or people, if you're in that situation, to go against what your parents want. And education seems to be this golden ring that our country in particular feels is a guarantee. But you can see there from those statistics that it's not. Now, you could do one of two things with that information. You could go and get rebellious and go, screw it, I'm not going to college. But you'll soon realize that you're only doing that in spite of yourself. Because college, like quitting your job, like doing an alternative to college, is an opportunity. And taking the opportunity, like you did, Kara, like Lexi did, that's the skillful action. You can go to college and look at it as self-growth, self-study. Who am I in this environment? And, you know, speaking of that, what if we don't want to go to college? What if we go to college and then want to do something completely different? And how to maintain the demons that are in most people's minds at that young age? And, you know, in looking at Lexi, you know, this is the last, I'm not sure when the podcast will come out, but she's going on to her next adventure tomorrow. And I wanted to have her on with you and I, because her and I have been talking a lot about awareness and alternatives, just to ponder. There's no right or wrong in what she's doing, what Kara's doing, what I'm doing, what your kids are doing, Kara. There's only what it is that you're doing. And if you're really miserable at what you're doing, just pondering that it's not always about giving it up. That was your story, right, Kara? That was your story of that was your time and that was your place, and it wasn't your time or place 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Your time and place was when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a time and place that you'll feel an inner shift. And I believe that the spiritual practice for me has just finely tuned the alarm bell for what is an inner shift and what's my ego.
Yes. Yeah.
In regards to alternative options, Lexi has taken an alternative route that to me isn't so alternative. It should be mainstream. Like overseas, when I backpacked, I met all these people from mostly New Zealand and Australia who I kept bumping into. And they were telling me that the way they grew up was that they would graduate high school and their parents would say, don't go to college yet. Go and travel for a year abroad. And so what they would do, the parents, I mean, obviously not every story is going to be this way, but the people that I met, the parents had taught them that after school, you work in the factory. In the summers, you work in the factory and you save your money so that when you get out of high school, you can go and do this travel abroad. It wasn't like the parents were paying for all of it. I mean, these people sometimes had no money, or they worked for a year out of high school and then saved the money and did the Eurorail and hostels. And that was their norm. Then they go back and they work a little bit more. And I guess the theory is more that they're working to play, where, I mean, it's not a surprise to anybody that our culture plays to work. You know, like we're, I don't even know if I said that the right way, but it might not have made any sense. But what I'm trying to say is that we work more here and we get 2 weeks vacation. Look at our maternity leave. Like, we barely get maternity leave. What we're valuing here is more hours in the office.
Well, we work to survive.
Yeah, thank
you. Like working is a means to an end.
Yes, that is what Tyler says, because people, they're motivated for the end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is a really scary thought.
We're working for our retirement so that we can play when we're like 50, 60, 70, instead of sort of doing both our entire lives.
Right, but, and Kara brings up a good point of like, okay, but bring awareness into the 20-year-old mind of putting away for an IRA or your future. But I think the really important part of that, Kara, is you have a unique perspective because your mom was like, whatever, you know, let's live in the now. And I don't mean whatever is in a derogatory sense at all.
It was whatever.
It was whatever. And your father was, you know, more corporate. He was an accountant. Am I right?
Yes, but look at his story. He's an accountant, very conservative, very much about, you know, doing the right, quote unquote, right, mainstream thing, and working for a means for the end, putting money away, being very frugal with your decisions, and not just doing something because it sounded like fun, and not living in the now because that's haphazard and irresponsible, and that's
the general consensus, I would say, wouldn't you?
Of conservative mind, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But he passed away young, and without provisions for his family, though he preached it.
Isn't that interesting?
And
I don't think that dying young has any correlation, do you?
And too young to ever get to the end where he was planning for. So, you know, he didn't get there. If he was planning for when he was going to be 70, what good did it do him when he died at 60?
Do you think that the life that he chose was stressful and that that's what contributed to him dying early?
No.
I just wanted to make that clear, because
I don't think he lived a stressful life at all.
Mm.
He happened to have gotten, you know, sick, but I just mean that if that was his fate, or you believe in, you know, your destiny, or that's the way it was meant, he was, you know, life was planned for him to live 60 years, he never believes anything like that.
Right.
But to me, I look at his way of thinking and his things that he taught his children, and it only makes me say, don't live for the day that isn't coming, because you don't know. None of us know. whether it's written or not written, mm-hmm. we don't know, and what our last day is, we don't know. So my theory of life is love every moment.
And I think, like I said, you have a very unique perspective being sandwiched between these two, you know, your two parents that are living completely polar opposites. What I think you're saying, and just correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's a balance between the two, and I think they gave birth to that in you,
yes.
and you're expressing that to Lexi, that it is about the balance, and sometimes you need to go out of balance to find what your balance is. So that is a really individual journey, just like the spiritual journey, right? So, you know,
yes.
in speaking to Lexi about it, you know, I was remembering back to her childhood and her decision to go to college, which was a brutal decision process. I remember the crying and I don't know what to do. And you know, I think that, you know, once Lexi expands a little bit, because obviously people are out there going, I have no idea what this person does. And I'm aware of that. But what her process is not that different from what tons of other people have come from. Lexi didn't come from affluence. She didn't come from a family that maybe they preached education, but only one had successfully gotten her master's in an academic establishment, and nobody paid her way. She had to get student loans. So in hearing what she has to say, I think that Lexi and I were reflecting on looking at people in magazines and hearing about them on TV or the radio of this person took, even me saying I went backpacking all over Europe. We come from the mind of that happens to other people. That doesn't happen to us. And I don't, how do you even raise $1,000? How do you even save any money? How do you know where to go, what to do? So anybody out there that's thinking, oh, well, you know, she had a golden spoon. No, her spoon was rusted and barely present. So with that, Lex, in deciding to go to college, that scary feeling, just talk on that for a second so you can back us up.
Well, I was coming from a place of having people who are very close to me have a very strong passion for one thing. So I had this like familiar identity of I know people who have this insane passion and from a very young age knew exactly what they wanted to do and what they wanted to aim for. Whether or not that worked out is a different story, but I never really felt that way about anything. I loved learning. I loved experiencing different things, different areas of interest in high school. I did a lot of photography. I did a lot of music. But I never felt like, yes, I want to be on stage or I want to take pictures for a living. Like, that's all I could ever think about. I'm crazy about it. I never had that. So in leaving high school and knowing that I was good at certain things, I sort of had a struggle between, okay, I'm good at it, but does that mean I really want to do it for 4 years and then have it be my career? Because I was still very much in the mindset of what I do in college is like, that's what I have to do. I have to continue that.
Right.
Working so hard and spending all this money on it, you know, that's like my choice for the rest of my life. And that always really tripped me up. Like, I don't want to make that decision right now. I don't.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, it totally is. And I remember looking at the colleges I got accepted to, their list of majors that you could have. And it was really long and definitely very intimidating. And I remember just going down the list and being like, oh, that sounds fun. That sounds cool. But it was so unsafe feeling, like my family has always been in this, like, one area of a field, which has been usually the music business, music industry. You know, my mother's a little bit separated from that, but I definitely knew I didn't want to do what she was doing. So I kind of stuck with what was safe and went the route of music because I had done it all through high school. I knew I was artsy, creative-minded, not as academically, you know, prominent. Like,
maybe it also made you feel a little safe in an unsafe situation because music was what you had come from,
right,
with growing
exactly.
up with me and who your grandfather was. And so you're unsafe. Let's just, I'll go to the college. I'll go to the big bad, you know, or whatever, the big scary place, but I'll at least bring music with me.
And I think if I was exposed to having another option other than going to college at that point in my life, I might have. I sort of was doing it because I thought that was like the proper next step. That's, I'm done with high school. Okay, now I have to go to college.
Yeah. So you studied.
I wasn't really aware. I didn't have that awareness at that point that there were other things I could do.
Like what?
Taking a year, like Europeans, you know, like you were just saying, and do some traveling or explore the option that there is college in another country that I wouldn't have to pay for. Because some countries do offer college to Americans. Anything. AmeriCorps, which I did after college.
Yeah, so you went to college, and you don't regret the experience at all.
Oh, not at all.
So what did you get out of it? Besides, like, let's take away from the academia part of it. You were saying that for everybody to maybe shift their perception of what you're getting out of it. If you go into school, if you go into college and you want a degree, you get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what are the other ways that maybe people who are in college right now can look at experiencing? What do you get out that is the shift of perception? Like, what did you learn outside of academia from college experience?
That's a good question. I actually ended up really enjoying what I went for.
Which was?
I went for communications. I had a focus of radio production and broadcasting and digital media. So I learned a lot about the history of radio and where it's headed and all that kind of stuff, recording in general. I had an amazing teacher and advisor who I think made the experience a lot better for me than it would have otherwise been if he didn't exist. He was a very open-minded thinker, so he pushed for just doing what you enjoy.
What's his name?
Tim Klucke.
Hey, Tim Klucke.
He was great. He pushed me to just explore the things that interested me the most about the major and about the things I was learning. He pushed me to be a leader, which I became the general manager of my radio station on campus, and that was an incredible experience. I got to do like some mock hiring of staff, and I think that was a really good experience for me to sort of uncover my leadership style and the fact that I could even be a leader at all.
Mm, so it definitely didn't come from a type A personality. So
not at all. I grew up very insecure, very kind of just follow the flow of how things are going with my friend group and very low self-esteem. Didn't have that confidence at all. So
that must have been scary to get to school. And like, what did it feel like to be without your family?
I went a while where I was actually really depressed and I didn't really leave my room that much.
Wow.
And then I started playing a sport, which I think opened everything up for me.
Hmm.
I was playing roller derby. So I was on a team of all women from all different walks of life. And I mean, that was just a part of my college experience that had nothing to do with my college.
But had you not been there...
Had I not been there, it never would have happened.
That's a shift of perception, you know, to look at that and say, wow, that taught you a lot of stuff about... I think we were talking to a relative yesterday, and you had said that that opened you up to just even having relationships with females.
Absolutely. Having a relationship with myself as a female.
Right.
Was completely shifted.
Wow.
And I think that, in a way, like, seeing my athletic side, seeing the confidence I have as a leader, the confidence I developed as a woman, all those things pushed me in the direction, and now I'm seeing this only now.
Oh, yeah, that's the fruit of labor 5 years, 10 years, 30 years later.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that now, how that pushed me to where I am today, which is in the mountains, hiking and building trail.
Uh-huh.
Which is so different than communications.
Yeah, so when you graduated, were you left with this, oh my word, now I have to go find a job in this profession?
Yes. Absolutely. I've been thinking that, yeah, almost every day.
Well, not
I mean,
now.
It's just, yeah, it's weaning, definitely, but I did have that thought a lot.
And you,
for sure.
So you went and you got a job, you tried it,
and
it wasn't for you. You worked at a radio station in New York.
Yep.
Where you're from.
I interned my last semester of college.
Right.
I interned in New York City. I did the commuting thing every day, an hour into Times Square.
Right.
I sat at a desk, and I was falling asleep at my desk every day.
Wow.
Literally falling asleep. Could not keep my eyes open. And I was I got really excellent reviews on my, because, you know, I did the work. It was exactly what I was doing in college. So it came kind of easy.
Right.
But I was meeting people who would go above and beyond to move up in that field and in that business.
Oh.
So they were doing, you know, a lot of research on artists, and they could talk for hours about one band and, like, you know, name tour dates and where they played and the names of the people in the band. And I was just sitting there very far removed from that.
Even though you have a music background.
Exactly.
Right. There's always more to learn.
It's interesting how it's always been a part of me, and I've always had the interest, but it's not what lit my fire.
Right.
It just didn't do it for me.
Right.
I was good at it, like I said, all throughout high school, in college, at my internship, but it's just not what brought me to life.
And then what happened? Like, what spark went off? And just tell us briefly, like, where'd you get the idea? How foreign did it sound to you?
It was actually you.
Oh, right. Right.
You.
I forgot that.
Oh, yeah.
I actually feel like Oprah Winfrey right now all of a sudden. I'm like, I'm sorry, but this is really, it's real for me because I'm so interested in how somebody goes from that sort of pressure to produce and make that education worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and now I got to pay my student loans. Like, we're either in the past or we're in the future.
Right. And it would have been the safe thing for me, like, quote unquote, safe.
Right.
To stay. There were positions open at SiriusXM. I had friends in the internship who got jobs there and stayed. I had friends from college who were working at other radio stations in New York City. So I could have done that. I could have stuck with that. I would have had a job. I would have had a steady income. I would have had a place to live.
You would have had a retirement plan.
I would have had a retirement plan. Exactly. But I was lucky enough in my life, and maybe this is where my spoon was not rusted, to have a guide and a teacher. It was you. But I think that it could show up in anyone's life in any way, whether or not it be a person. I mean, that might be the most obvious way. A family member, your grandmother, a teacher, the lady who makes your coffee every day.
Mm.
It could come in any form. I think you just have to be, you have to want to listen to it. You have to be ready to listen to it.
It was my neighbor.
And I don't think when I was ready, I even knew I was ready.
Right.
So it's not like this switch that turned on where I was like, oh, yeah, okay, now I'm going to pay attention.
Right.
Or now I'm going to wake up to this idea. But I did somehow.
That concludes part one with Kara Evans and Lexi Pellegrino. I'm Katrina Chester, and thank you for listening to Zooming in the Lens podcast, where we're talking about alternatives, options, shifting perceptions, and awareness, and how to do that from exactly where we're at in life. And to find out where this adventure took Lexi next, tune in for part two of Zooming in the Lens podcast. If you'd like to join the conversations, you can do so by emailing at zitlcourse@gmail.com. If you're interested in actually doing the Zooming in the Lens online course, go to ramdas.org/zooming or functionalyogaonline.com, where Ram Dass and Functional Yoga team up to present you with an online satsang. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again for part two.
They will come to you either through an external circumstance that will tell you what it is that you need to do. It can come from the outside as a synchronistic event. And this, many people are telling me that they're finding that things that are just right as they live more and more in presence come into their lives. The right offer, the right, you're meeting the right person, and suddenly what it is that you need to do arises. From the outside it comes. Or you wake up one morning and with the realization of, this is what I need to do. And then I would wait and see, just to make sure that it comes from a deep enough place. And if it's still there the next day and a week later, and there's a deep sense of peace with it and power, then it comes from a deep place, and then it's good to act on it. This is how I got taken away from living in England. I loved England, but one morning I knew I have to remove myself without knowing why. And it was so strong that I removed myself. I knew I had to go to the west coast of North America, not knowing why. And it took a while before I got rid of everything. Removed myself, landed on the west coast. What now? Don't know. And so I sat there for a few weeks in presence, and the mind, yes, came in occasionally and said, this is, why did you come here? And the mind even started to look at ads for flying back to England, fares. And then at some point, the impulse came to buy a notepad, carried the notepad, not home, I didn't have a home, somebody had put me up. And there in his kitchen, the pen came and a very strong impulse came to write. And I wrote, what is enlightenment? Somebody had once asked me that. But that I remembered more or less what I had said. But that was a new a stream that came. And I'd written one page and I knew this is a book. It's coming. And so there was simply something I couldn't have predicted, obedience to what came out of the present moment, and the trust to go just into the, with a limited amount of money, into complete unknown. But don't do it on an impulse that is a restless kind of impulse, or that comes out of any kind of negative emotion, and see if it's still with you after a while. Then it's right, it's peaceful, and it's powerful.
Music and editing, special thank you to Ian Hatton. If you'd like more information on Ian, go to mixforpix, mixforpix.com.